when we got married, Renee and I made a bargain that I would do the speaking and she would do the singing. I've kept my part of the bargain. I really have. Okay, back to that one. I'm in a quandary because, you know, Jen Ho likes for us to start a book, go straight through the book. The first time I worked on Ecclesiastes, I went back and did a property search on my word. It was January. And the last time I did anything with Ecclesiastes was March. You realize that 6 months ago? And I thought I had left myself a message that this is where I ended. But I don't think it was. I know I have to review, so if I go over the same material, I'm sorry. But let's do a quick review of Ecclesiastes 1. This will be session 3. I promise you at this time I'm going to put a great big slash mark, but then we still have to go back and review when it's been that far along. Who wrote those?
Solomon.
And we need some review. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, often called Song of Songs, and the Song of Solomon are all the productions of Solomon. This is an outline of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. In order to understand Ecclesiastes at all, I think the first thing you have to do is understand the tone. Proverbs was a very uplifting... Yeah, I've got to read them. Proverbs was a very uplifting book, giving encouragement and direction. And I think I told you the last time that I always started to look at Ecclesiastes before, and I read the first two verses, and it was so depressing, I didn't... This time I forced myself. What's in the first two verses that would indicate that I might not like to read all the way through Ecclesiastes? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And in this book, the word vanity actually means a breath. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, it's meaningless. It's no more meaningful than a breath. Just what?
Just fun.
Just fun. If you have fun, and he says that's even worthless because it lasts no time at all. Many of you will recognize that. We'll refer to that in a short time. He built that and said it was a breath. What he had accomplished in life. That's a floor plan. Big place, but it's a breath. I want you to look up three scriptures. Let's start at the bottom one in this case, Genesis 2:6. It was the last reference. If somebody will look that up for me, read it. Somebody else, Proverbs 8:28 to 29, Psalms 104:10 to 13. Who has Genesis 2:6. What we're going to get into in just a minute is one of the most phenomenal parts, in my view, of God's creation. And that's where water comes from. It goes over and over and over. What about Proverbs 8, 28 and 29? Who looked it up? Okay. The great architect. Psalms 104, 10 to 13. Now, he calls himself the preacher in Ecclesiastes 1. And then in Ecclesiastes 1, 2, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, it's all is vanity. I want to look first at Ecclesiastes 1, 3. What is there to show for all of our hard work here on this earth? Men are far more likely to identify themselves and be identified with their work. Women are getting there, I fear to say, because there are more and more in the workplace. But a man for some reason, is so wired that what he produces is the way he wants to be identified. Maybe not every time, but that's the way we look at him. If I show you this picture, who do you think of? Who? And if that doesn't do it for you, that one does, right? If you go fishing, we think of Gary. What about that one?
Oh, must be a Jack.
Oh, well, you put either one of those pictures up, and we automatically think of Jack, because he's a wealth of information when it comes to trains. Now he's not here tonight. I thought he said he was going to try to be. Who do we think of when we see
the Exterminator?
And who would that be? That's Mike. And that he is the leader in money management. We just have a tendency to think of Mike when I don't know how he put those two together, bugs and money management, but he has done. By the way, don't forget that this Saturday at 9 o'clock is Mike's class. They keep saying it's Jerry and Mike. It's not. It's Mike. I will be there. I will be there. Mike is the one that has all the techniques. The only thing I know is that in order to be considered a money manager, you have to live on less than you make if you intend to accumulate. Well, Mike can give you some of the methods in order to do that. Who do you think of when you think of that?
Jerry.
Jerry. And if...
and Jerry now.
Yeah. But this separates us.
I think Gary is what Gary wants.
By the way, 2 weeks ago this coming Saturday, we formed the CCOS ATV Club, and we're thinking about a couple of others. Bill Mertens and I and Gary and Dick went out ATVing, and we formed a club. All you have to do is come and risk your life, and you can be a member of the club. It's got a trailer hitch. He is one I would ride behind for sure. Verse. It does, doesn't it? All of that around. Look at 1:7. All rivers empty into the sea, but it never spills over. One by one, the rivers return to their source. This is one of the most phenomenal things that God has prepared for us on this earth. I lived a half a mile from that creek. I've known the creek for almost 60 years, and it's run the whole time. Now, here in Arizona, if it has water in it, it's rained within the past couple of hours. The water comes out of the Gulf of Mexico, and God deposits it in His magic way near that creek near Mena, Arkansas. And it just runs and runs and runs. It took me years to figure out how He did that. And it's a very simple operation, unless you and I try to figure out how to do it, right? Is there anything new? We talked about that the last time in Ecclesiastes 8:1-10. Ecclesiastes 1:8-10. There's nothing new, most important man to ever live. Anybody know who that might have been? Except for Jesus Christ. That is a given. According to a recent TV program, the man that has lived and had the greatest impact on man. No, I said except Jesus. I know, that's a difficult one. And some of you may not even recognize his name. No, no. His name was Gutenberg, who invented the printing press. The Gutenberg Bible, the very first thing printed on the printing press was Gutenberg. And most of us, unless they hear the word Gutenberg with the word Bible, they may not know that we're talking about actually a man that lived. What happens when you do get wise? This is one of my favorites. I made it up. The more you know, the more you are responsible for. So just stay dumb. Yes, Gary. Ah, wisdom. Wisdom is one thing, knowledge is another. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. I remember when I got to West Fulton High School in 1970, they had a problem with a speaker or something, and I repaired it. From that day until the day I left that school in 1992, I was responsible for every piece of electronic equipment on the whole place, and I wished I had played dumb. When we know too much and try to show off, try to impress somebody, we end up getting ourselves in a real pickle. I wanted to show you that map. By the way, my little pointy thing is right here. I wish they had put this in a little different. It's hard to tell. That is the outline of Israel. I wish they had made it a little bit different. And that is Israel. I'll back up, and you can see the two C's. You see that one right there and that one right there. Back up this one and this one. Okay. It has been said that knowledge is horizontal. How many smart people have you known in your life? Really smart. Were they also wise? Not necessarily. We very carefully can separate the wisdom, the ones who have wisdom, from the ones who have knowledge. I wanted to, if I get to it, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. How old do you think you have to be to know what to do with the knowledge that you have? Most people say, got to be at least 50 to even start. No matter how intelligent you are or how much you know, it does not supersede God's law. And we have a tremendous number of people in the United States who are so highly educated, and they have decided they know more than God. I have heard them not say, I know more than God, but they will tell you, well, I know what God says. What's the next word? But. And that means forget that I know what God says and you listen to me because I know as much as He does. I won't go over that one again. Anybody recognize that? I met a traveler from an antique land who said, too vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive stamped on those lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal those words appear. Just a minute.
I'm sorry, I thought that was it.
That's your wife, man.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I have never practiced a presentation before, but from now on, I think I will, and have her ask her questions in privacy. Oh, I do love her. And on the can I go on, Renee? And on the pedestal, these words appear: my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, you mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare. The lone and level sands stretch far away. By Shelley. It was the story of a man who thought he was going to be the most important man that ever lived. He had this huge statue built of himself. And the only thing around him now, and the only thing around him now is empty sand. Have we known people like that? Say what? I've known a few people who... Yeah, there was one of those. There were two or three others. Now, Ozymandias, one of my favorite poems, when you start getting to feel uppity, when you start... You get that word, CJ?
Oh, totally. I've been applying it to several people.
Okay. When you start feeling that way, get Ozymandias out. I'm sure you still have your 10th grade English books, and that's the reason you don't recognize it, because it was that long ago. Okay, now, as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference in knowledge and wisdom. And I touched on this the last time, and you told me something at the end. Do you remember what it was? You don't remember? Okay. I can't remember what it was. I truly cannot. But he did tell me something that he had read, and I had read it also. But I can't remember. I'm old. I have an excuse. They say what? Okay. Acquisition of knowledge. What has it given us? This is what I need my soapbox for. Now, you would think that, as an educator, that I would think education was the most important thing on this earth. No society can survive without a strong educational system. And I'm here to tell you, we don't have one anymore. We used to have a great educational system. But we let people tell us that God's laws are unimportant, that His physics are unimportant, that His child-rearing methods are wrong, and the list goes on and on and on. And we do not have a good educational system. I think we have a two-tier educational system. Those who want an education and those that attend school. And I'm sorry to say that if you don't know which one your child is in, go find out. Go find out. And give them all the direction that you possibly can. Because our education system is in the dumper. It has been. I watched it go down for nearly 30 years. And if we don't save our children from what they're being taught, the nation doesn't have a chance. I'm not sure that it does anyway. Most people say you have to be 50 in order to have any idea of how to use the knowledge that you have. It's just strange how much you've got to know before you know how little you know. Do you remember when you came to that conclusion in your life? You thought you knew everything, and then all of a sudden you realize what I know is worthless and what I've got to learn is so big I don't know whether I can ever do it. What is our biggest crisis in America now? Let's name two or three of them. Let's name two or three of them. What? Okay. One, I think, of course, and all of you would agree, is the moral crisis. We have two large groups of people like that. One still believes in the law of God. The others want to change America completely. They have had their way for so many years. It's come to a head. We will soon know what the masses of America are going to do. But we are at loggerheads as to which one we're going to have. Whether we're going to have the old-style America, which I prefer. Nothing wrong with old if it's better. Or the new style of America, which is so very, very, very dangerous. Harry Davy used to say that a man's wisdom runs converse to the number of degrees he has on his wall. And I've seen some walls with some very impressive degrees. Talk to the man and absolutely no common sense at all. I'm going to skip that. Now, we did touch on that a minute ago. Lady Liberty. Many of you will remember that. You didn't know that I was going to do that, CJ, but it's a picture of the Twin Towers.
I knew something in spirit. I didn't know if you'd ever
Have we forgotten? Or do we just not care? If I ever get to speak on Sunday morning, I'm working on a message, not a sermon, I don't do those, on a message, and the title of it is going to be, I think, we've got to get out of our cocoon. We're going to be like that. And this is one of the most poignant of all pictures I've ever seen. Lady Liberty out in the harbor, still standing tall, but the Twin Towers are on fire. Okay, let's get back. How many of you had family or friends or acquaintances who died in the Twin Towers? Anybody? Okay. At least we've been spared that in our group. How many wives? First, who was the wisest man that ever lived? You know how many wives he had?
100.
He had 700 wives. Now, somehow that just doesn't seem real bright to me. Now, I just don't see a lot of wisdom in that kind of decision. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Well, I think those that live today are a lot smarter than that. I actually do. Whoops. Uh-oh. It go boom. Okay. I will forget that. Okay. I'm only going to touch on this because I want us to have prayer time tonight. We have had the best DVD series I think I have ever seen in a church, and I've seen a few. But that was the best I've ever seen. But all of them were an hour long, and with any discussion, I want us to get back to that in just a minute. Turn to chapter 2. And I'm just going to touch on it, and then we will stop. Statement and rebuttal, if I can find mine. Everybody have it except me? What did I do with it? Renee, I know you ran it off for me and gave it to me. Somebody read for me. Now, here it is. I said to myself, have fun and enjoy yourself. But this didn't make sense. Laughing and having fun is crazy. What good does it do? Now, most of you know that the other night I was talking about the new lens that I got and how I was fondling it and I was holding it and Renee asked me if I loved her more than the lens. And I said, this is not a good time to ask. See, if you speak up again when you're not supposed to. But you know, that it gave me great pleasure. And I immediately took the old lens. It was only a 28-200. The one I bought was a nice 28-300. And I put it, I love that. And now it's just the old lens that's on that camera hanging in the closet. Why? No, I didn't get anything better.
It gave you a moment of pleasure.
That's it. I was in love with that lens when it came. I took some pictures with it. It's the one that I took when we went down ATVing. I sat up way up on the road, zoomed in on each of the buildings down in Ruby, and I might as well have been standing next. Oh, it's a great lens. But most of the pleasure's gone out of it. And that's the way it is with almost everything we attain in life. Mary got a magnificent camera not long ago. I think it zooms to 420, if I'm not mistaken. And when was the last time you shot a picture with it, Mary? Yesterday. Mm-hmm. She still loves it. But not quite like you did the day that it came. Because things just do not give us the pleasure that they do the first day, and it goes down a little bit the second day. And by the fourth or fifth day, we're looking for something else to give us that same kind of zing, that same kind of power in the blood that makes us want to get out and it's just gone.
Is that the same thing with your new ATV?
Yeah. Not yet.
Renee, I don't want you to quit going over and having prayer with her, okay? They get together about every Monday, and I know now. Yes, what we. Yeah, most of those things that we really love doing, it's better if we don't get to do them as often because it does get old in a hurry. And well, I appreciate that. I'm going to mark. Excuse me. That's what my. Yeah. I know that, but I don't practice that very well, I'm afraid. Does everybody have a prayer sheet?
Wait, I need clarification on one
thing. Okay. That's between you and God. He made me accountable when I was. He came to me one night when I was, I think, 21 years old, and he gave me the whipping that nobody. And it was not physical. It was not. He took something from me. I was getting in my Thunderbird, and the Holy Spirit fell on me, and it might as well have been my car falling on me. And he gave me a whipping for the next mile, and I screamed in pain and shame. That's when I became accountable. But I didn't really employ everything until I was at least 50.